I'm CJ Liu. Welcome to Fire It Up with CJ on the Transformation Talk Radio Network. Today we are lucky to have Kia Chatterjee from the World Wildlife Fund, and she is going to be giving us the latest and greatest on climate change, and specifically to tell us about a program that has been organized by the World Wildlife Fund, which is called the Earth Hour City Challenge. And the Earth Hour City Challenge just actually wrapped up recently, and we are going to be talking to Kia about some of the things that we're going to talk to her about the Earth Hour City Challenge, and we're going to talk about ways that you can take an active role in shaping the world in which we live in. Welcome, Kia. Are you there?
Yep, I'm here.
Okay, great. So I wanted to start off, because I know that you've been working on these issues for a while, I wanted to start off just talking about the science a little bit, because I think a lot of us intuitively sense that the extreme weather conditions — they just did a report actually from Yale University which said that the majority of United States citizens feel like, you know what, these weather conditions are related to climate change. But what have we found out in terms of the connection between the extreme weather and climate change that we know right now about?
Mm-hmm. Well, simple physics tells us that when you have a warmer atmosphere, it holds more moisture, and more moisture leads to all kinds of results, from more extreme precipitation events to more storms, that's a lot of what we're seeing right now. A lot of the confusion has come because scientists have a very hard time attributing one particular event to climate change. It's not that that can't be done. You can attribute it. But the problem is that it takes a long time to do that attribution. And usually the news story has ended by the time the attribution process has been done. So the analogy I often use for people is that climate change is like speeding on a highway. If you're driving on a highway 110 miles an hour, and you get into a car accident, it's not necessarily the speeding that caused the car accident, but it Right. definitely made it more likely, and it definitely made it worse. Climate change is just like speeding. It's making all these extreme weather events more likely, and or it's making them worse.
Right. Right. So it's like there's probably multiple factors, but you know this is one of the factors. You can't necessarily do an extreme analysis on knowing specifically what percentage weight it is, but you know that it can't be doing good.
Exactly. And in fact, you can do that analysis. It just takes a little time, and by the time it's done, usually that news moment has ended, so people don't pay attention to the fact. In most cases, we are finding that many of these events wouldn't happen in the absence of climate change.
Okay, is that true? If you map back some of the biggies, are there certain ones which they know, kind of like, yeah, no, that was climate change? That, you know,
yeah,
the news
cycle is going. If you think of the question as, would this event have been as bad in the absence of climate change, then if you look back at these attribution studies, you find that most of them would not have been as bad in the absence of climate change. So climate change is adding a level of impact that's really making things much, much more significant. And people are experiencing that. They're seeing it firsthand, and so they can understand it. You know, there was this recent study that said that, you know, since 2006, 80% of Americans, 4 out of 5 Americans, have actually experienced an extreme weather event. That's really unprecedented.
Right.
It's incredible statistics we're living through right now.
Yeah. And then when I do my informal survey at the grocery store, most people agree it's climate change. No, I'm in Seattle, so most people are kind of like, yes, it's climate change. But no, I do think it's pretty, like you said, it's simple, like, logic, right? Warmer atmosphere, more moisture, more, you know, I mean, it's kind of logical. So what's being discussed in terms of policy changes to curb climate change, since you're at the forefront of that? And how's the discussion evolved over time?
Well, unfortunately, right now, there isn't a lot of discussion at the federal level about policy changes. The thing is that we already know what policies that we need. We need to put a price on pollution. So we need to make it so that polluting is not free. There are only a few ways to do that. You can do that through a carbon tax. which has the benefits of, you know, helping with the deficit and things like that. You can do that through an emissions trading system or a cap and trade system. These are kind of no-brainer policies. They're things where you put a price on the thing you don't want, the pollution, and behavior changes really quickly. So we know what policies we need. There's no magic to it. What we are lacking right now is the political will to go up against the vested interests who don't want to see a switch to renewable energy, who don't want our society to be run on solar power and wind power.
Right. So it's like oil companies and those people who are like, you know, those big lobbyists and such who have big, deep pockets.
Yeah. And interestingly, even a lot of those companies are really starting to be affected by climate change and starting to understand this is a problem that they're going to have to deal with. But the politics are not there right now. So, you know, right now, while we have, you know, 70-80% of Americans saying that they think this is a really big problem and that we should act, those same Americans aren't necessarily having their voice heard. They're not necessarily raising their voices even. You find that a relatively small percentage of that 80% has ever contacted an elected representative about climate change, has ever, you know, written a letter to the editor about climate change, has ever even voted with climate change in mind. So while people are concerned about the issue when you ask them, we still aren't really having people engage on this issue, and that's what's really lacking.
Interesting. And then how about on the business? How is that changing? So I'm hearing, like, you know, some, like, even some of the people who have vested interests are kind of like, I can't do this anymore. What's happening on the business front in terms of the dialogue and how it's changing?
So I think that the private sector is actually in large part pretty supportive of the policies that we need in order to deal with climate change. But the problem is that the voices that don't want action are still louder than the voices that want action. So you see this in the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, that the Chamber of Commerce as an organization is unbelievably opposed to action on climate change, but many of their members are not. And in fact, recently we saw many of their members drop out of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce in opposition to their positions on climate change. So that happened with Apple was the first company to do it, and a few companies started to follow. But there are large companies in the U.S. who don't agree with the Chamber of Commerce and what they're saying on climate change. And you're seeing companies come forward and voluntarily set targets for themselves. Now, these targets are not at the scale of what's needed, but they are important. They're important steps in the right direction. They're just not at the scale of where we need to be. So part of our work is getting businesses to really scale up their ambition, both so that they can help us get the policies we need and also so that we actually get the emissions reductions from the corporate sector.
Yeah, there's almost has to be some type of marketing campaign, right, where it's like, here's the, you know, we're joining the whatever challenge that says that we will reduce emissions by 20%, because they kind of need something to incent them to do it. Like, they're naturally incented, but like you said, like, what limits, what should my goal be? You know, it's probably hard for people and businesses to push these to begin with, let alone not have any tangible benefit that they can associate with it.
Well, of course, there are tangible benefits in that they're actually saving money with most of these programs. So if you make your business more efficient, if you're making the same number of widgets, but you're making those widgets with less greenhouse gas emissions, that probably means you're making those widgets with less energy, which means you're not having to pay as high of an energy bill. So there's actually a real built-in incentive for companies, in addition to the corporate social responsibility, and on top of that, the consumer credit that they get. You know, consumers want to be doing the right thing as well, and so you're seeing big companies starting to set big targets, like 100% renewable energy targets. Now, the problem that they're having is that policies that are in place right now make it really hard for them to meet those targets. Who's going to sell them 100% renewable energy? The policy framework just isn't there in the U.S. And so part of what we need to do is encourage businesses to get involved in these policy debates so that they can meet their own targets.
I don't understand. So who will, I don't understand. So what specific policy, and sorry for my ignorance here, that isn't happening that allows them to go 100% renewable? I mean, we don't have enough sources for it, alternative energy sources, or?
Yeah, so for example, if a company has a 100% renewable energy target, they can go to their utility and say, "Well, we want to buy 100% renewable energy." And their utility can say, "Oh, look, we don't have that much renewable energy in our electricity. Mostly coal." And there's no that, what you need is a local policy that would actually, you know, there are things called renewable energy standards at the local level where they require utilities to have a certain amount of renewable energy available to consumers, and then it's available for that company to buy it.
I see. Yeah. So, like, if the company said, "Sure, I'll do renewable energy," it just has to be available. But right, it's like no supply.
Right.
Have demand.
And it's not that there isn't ample solar energy or ample wind energy. It's just that there's an inertia in the system in terms of getting energy from where you've always gotten it from. And there are actual policy barriers. So, for example, with renewable energy, you need to have really good grid transmission lines. And so you need to get those transmission lines in place. And so we need to have the policies that make it easier to have renewable energy. In Europe, there are lots of policies where, for example, renewable energy is given a higher priority than coal is given, and so if there's wind energy and it wants to get on the highway, the electricity grid, it always gets to go first. It always gets priority, and those policies are really important in terms of incentivizing renewable energy.
Interesting. Okay, I could talk to you for like hours, but unfortunately we have a break. So sad, those commercials. Many thanks to you. We will be talking next to Kia about the Earth Hour City Challenge, which is being organized by the World Wildlife Fund. So stay tuned, and make sure to friend us on Fired Up with CJ page to find out more about the shows that we have coming up.
What would it take for you to feel free and know that you have all the time you need to fulfill your destiny and live the life of your dreams? Wouldn't it be wonderful to be in this state of being every single day? Learn how to develop this profound knowing and this skill by cultivating gratitude in your daily life. Each moment, you have a choice. Take the time now, in this present moment, to open yourself to more valuable time for you. Use our gratitude journal, graced with our bungee bookmark, infused with the essence of gratitude, and write down what you are grateful for. This daily practice will transform your life and shift your reality. Offer yourself this amazing gift of gratitude and transform your own life in health, creativity, wealth, and enriched relationships. Visit our Gratitude Living Boutique at explorationgratitude.com.
In each week on Wednesdays at 12 Pacific and 3 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. And Dr. Peggy will lead you through the maze of info on topics from allergies and antioxidants to zinc and xylitol and all points in between, providing you with simple solutions to help you achieve optimal health for your mind, body, and spirit. Visit SimpleHealthNetwork.com to take your health back and get your copy of Dr. Peggy's amazing cookbook, OMG! That's allergy-free.
Feeling bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heart warmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.
Wouldn't you love to live in simple gratitude for each moment of your life? When gratitude is integrated in life, it uplifts your own sense of well-being at a very deep level, and you create each day with wonder and passion. Gratitude expressed daily gives us wings to fly towards its highest summits. By writing your 5 gratitudes a day in your journal, you open yourself up to new possibilities to live your life to the fullest. Wishing you a day filled with the essence of gratitude. To get your gratitude journal and bungee bookmark infused with the essence of gratitude, visit our Gratitude Living Boutique at explorationgratitude.com.
Stop. Get out of that car. Stop living your life in the passenger seat. Tune in to TransformationTalkRadio.com and let us help you drive.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm CJ Liu, and you're listening to the Fired Up with CJ show on the Transformation Talk Radio Network. And today we have Kea Chatterjee from the World Wildlife Fund, who is here to give us an update on what happened this year in the Earth City Challenge and get you excited so that you can participate this year when the challenge happens yet again. So welcome back, Kea. Are you there?
Yep. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can now. So tell us about the Earth Hour City Challenge and what happened this year and what we can anticipate for next year.
So we
first of all, tell us what is it, too. I realize that people don't even know what it is. Tell us what it is, what happened, and what we can expect.
So the Earth Hour City Challenge is just what it sounds like. It's a challenge to cities, and we launched it this year. It was kind of based in something that an event that we had had annually for a while called Earth Hour. So for Earth Hour, what we do is we ask cities and individuals to turn off their lights for 1 hour in support of action on climate change. And thousands of cities actually came forward and did that. And they've been doing it for a few years. And now that we've had them doing it for a few years, we thought, well, let's ask cities to do even more now. Let's take Earth Hour to the next level and take Earth Hour beyond the hour. And so we launched this Earth Hour City Challenge, basically challenging cities to do 2 things, to really educate their public about how they're needing to prepare for the impacts of climate change and what they need to do to prepare, and also expanding renewable energy. And so we'll actually be awarding the first U.S. Earth Hour capital next Earth Hour, which is at the end of March. And right now, we're inviting cities to participate in the Earth Hour City Challenge and inviting individuals to get involved and encourage their own cities to get involved in the Earth Hour City Challenge.
Wait, so when is the date of that then again?
So cities can enter the entry form starting in June. The winner will be awarded in March of 2013.
Okay, got it. So basically you're taking in cities now who will then be for your 2013 challenge for next year. And it's these 2 things, what they're doing to prepare the public on imminent changes in climate change and expand U.S. energy, renewable energy sources. Is that right?
Exactly. Communities around the country are actually facing the brunt of the extreme weather that we've been talking about. You know, whether it's intense heat waves or wildfires or droughts or floods, it's actually the cities and towns across this country that are having to deal with it. And as climate change gets worse, these dangerous weather events are also getting worse. And so we're looking for communities that are really being leaders in preparing for this and being practical about it and educating their publics about it so that we can reward and recognize those cities that are doing the most.
Okay. And so how, let's say as an individual, what are the action items for me to do if I want this, my city of Seattle to do this per se?
Yeah, so we would love the city of Seattle to get involved. And so what you can do is go to our website. It's www.earthhourcitychallenge.org. And you'll find a map of the United States. And from there, you can click on your town, and you can read about the local impacts of climate change there. And you can send a letter to your mayor and your city council asking them to participate in the Earth Hour City Challenge. And if you want to do more, you can actually become a city captain for the Earth Hour City Challenge and get individuals in the community to sign petitions encouraging your community to participate.
Excellent. So if I actually, so tell us the instructions again. I'm going to go to your website. Just do the URL again for folks who want to write this down.
It's earthhourcitychallenge.org.
Okay. And then they go to, there's a, on the website is the map of the U.S. I click on my town. So I'd go over to Seattle, click on it. And is there an email that I can then send? Is it already prepackaged email that you've like put everything in, or like I need to go craft an email?
Nope, it's a prepackaged email. It's sitting there. It's written for you. It says, these are the impacts of climate change in Seattle. I really want you as my elected officials to address these, and I also encourage you to throw your ring in the hat for the Earth Hour City Challenge so that we can be involved in this network of cities working together on climate change.
Okay, that is so simple, stupid people. Everyone has to do it. I mean, that will take, this is like 10 seconds of your life.
It's very, very quick, we promise.
Okay, so I'm going to do that. I'm excited. So I'm actually, what I'll do is also put a link to folks who couldn't write down the URL so that they can actually go directly to the map. And then, you know, how easy could that be? And then a city captain, what does it mean to be a city captain if I want to be a city captain?
So we are going to be providing kits to individuals who want to do more in their community. So there are a few communities where, believe it or not, there are people in positions of authority who don't want to do anything about climate change. And so we've devised a way so that citizens in those places can actually go out and collect signatures and get people to sign petitions and help their elected representatives see the light. And so we have a package that we'll be sending to city captains, and you can get more information through an information request on our website, or I can give you the email address right now. Should I do that?
Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
It's EHCC. So that's the acronym for Earth Hour City Challenge. So it's EHCC@WWFUS.org. And the city captains, you know, will be encouraging them to do a little bit more, but really everybody, we hope, will go online and send a letter to their mayor.
Okay, so it's EHCC@WWLF for the World Wildlife Fund.
WWF. It's a tricky one at the end there. It's World Wildlife Fund, so it's WWFUS, like the United States, WFUS.org.
Okay, great. That's also super easy. I love it that you have an activist in a box.
You want to make it easy for people. You know, I was saying there's a real gap between people who agree with us and people who act. And part of it is that people don't have an easy way to act, and people are just really busy. I mean, everybody's really, really busy. And so our hope is that by making it as easy as possible, we get individuals to really engage, and they in turn get their elected representatives to engage, who in turn engage more and more and more people. This is all about taking the people who really believe this is important and getting them to talk to the people who need to be converted.
I love it. This is like 70 to 80% of you believe in this. So all you need to do now is go over to go to the website, send an email, become a captain. I love how you've made this so simple, stupid. I love it. For people like me who care but are like, I'm so busy. I love it. Thank you so much for the work that you do, Kaya. It's awesome. And it's just, you have an inspiring energy. I'm excited. I'm going to go send an email right now.
I'm excited, too. I can't wait to see everyone's email. Then we're tracking them, so we know if you send them.
Oh, yeah. So then you're like, I haven't seen it yet, CJ. So I'm literally going to hang up the phone and send it. Folks, anyways, thank you so much for coming and the work that you do. Folks, if you want to hear more shows like this, make sure to friend us on Fire Up with CJ on Facebook. And next week, we're going to talk to some book nerds. I mean, the best book nerds ever. We have Christy Hill, who is going to be talking about the future of libraries, which seems like a big yawner, but it's actually super exciting. And we also have Dave Risher, who is the head of World Reader and offering digital books to developing countries. So how cool is that? So see you next Thursday, and thank you again, everyone.
You've been listening to Fire It Up with CJ. Tune in each week on Transformation Talk Radio at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time for more of Fire It Up with CJ. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.